We sang earlier in the meeting of our need, and we heard about our need for Jesus all the time. I've heard that chorus of that first song we sang, not I need Jesus, but I have Jesus. I have Jesus, I have Jesus. I have Jesus every day, have him in the sunshine hour, have him when it's not so good and we have problems and tests of life. I have Jesus. And we heard we need to work at it. We know we don't need to work for salvation, but we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And he wants to sanctify us, Jesus does. And he wants to spread out his reign and his rule and his kingdom in our hearts. And he does that by the Holy Spirit. The fellowship that we have, the grace that he offers to us, is really through the power of the Holy Spirit. We heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, how God wants to fill us. He wants to save us. He wants to fill us. And as Brother Cecil was mentioning, some of those quotes from Brother Hans and the tapes and listening to the sermons, many of you have read and heard maybe much more than I have. But how often in some of those articles that we have in print that you can readily get and read about the meaning of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he'll teach that it's just a life in Jesus. It's just a reception, continual reception of his grace. Grace is his help. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete or the helper. And we need that help. We need the help to pray. We need the help to understand the scriptures. We need the help to live. We need the help to overcome. But God has grace. God has help for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brother Cecil said, once a week. I think I can hear Brother Hans say, moment by moment, we live in him. And we move in him. Now, they're both right, and you can understand it in many different ways. But God wants to continually fill us with his Spirit and enable us to live in him and move in him and have our being in him. That picture back there, you know, I look at the clock every once in a while, believe it or not. I really do. And I try to remember what time it is. And right next to the clock, you can't help but see Brother Wannenmacher up there. And Brother Wannenmacher, at his 90th birthday celebration, if you don't know his story, do we have that track, that story, Brother Wannenmacher? Maybe it's online, his testimony. I'm not sure. But Brother Wannenmacher was, as a young man, healed of bone consumption. TB of the bone. I don't know what the medical, official medical term may be today. But he was a very sick man. And God came to him. He was frail, weakly, sickly. But God came and healed him of that sickness and used him to minister to others in a ministry of healing, as well as preaching the word of God and all through the world, all over the world. But although healed of his sickness and given a ministry by God, Brother Wannenmacher never really was a strong man physically. He had always impressed me, at least, and I heard it said of him that he was always frail, weak. I can remember him. He passed away many years ago now, but I can remember Brother Wannenmacher, and I remember him in the faith home. I can remember him playing his violin, and I can remember a lot of stories about him. But, you know, on a midsummer day, he'd have a sweater and a suit jacket and is freezing cold all the time. And at his 90th birthday, Brother Edwin Waldfogel went out to join in the celebration. It was in the Midwest. And he said he was sitting across the table from Brother Wannenmacher. And he really didn't know what to say to him. And so he said, Brother Wannenmacher, I've noticed that over the years since we've known one another and ministered together, that you've really learned how to live by that life of Jesus. You know, there are those verses that Paul the Apostle mentions. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. And so Brother Edwin, just to make conversation, said, Brother Wannenmacher, I've noticed how, although weak or although not strong physically, you've learned to take the life of Christ. You've learned to live in him. You've learned to receive from him all the time, not just spiritually, but physically. And Brother Wannenmacher thought for a moment, and he looked back at Brother Edwin, and Brother Edwin, as he told the story, said, he pointed at me. But when he stuck out his 90-year-old finger, he was pointing at me, but his finger was going this way. So he was pointing at me, but really pointing at him at the same time. But he pointed at Brother Edwin, and he said, God help us if we don't. God help us if we don't live in him. If we don't receive from him moment by moment, if we don't take the grace of God moment by moment. And Brother Edwin never forgot those words. God help us if we don't. Is that what the Apostle Paul meant when he talked about living in the Spirit? It's not just a baptism, but there's a life in the Spirit. He writes to the Ephesian church about walking in the Spirit. What a wonderful life we have. We've been called to a life in the Spirit, living in him, moving in him, not just coming, as we heard in the testimony, we jump into a Sunday morning meeting and we go, where did we go up here, right? We go up here Sunday morning, and then Monday morning we go back down to where we're supposed to, where we think we have to be. But to live in him, to walk with him, to have fellowship with him. John says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why God sent the Holy Spirit, so that you might live in him and move in him and have fellowship with him and receive grace. And the song here, Annie Johnson Flint, who wrote it, she was a weak woman also physically, more than just weak. She was bedridden with terrible pain and arthritis. But she wrote this song from that arthritic bed. They say they put a pencil between her gnarled fingers. She couldn't hold it like a normal person would hold a pencil, but they stuck that pencil and she penned or penciled the words to this song. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength when the labors increase. And there from that bed of affliction and sickness, she writes about the grace of God. And she, maybe every day of her life, before the day was half done, reached the end of her hoarded resources. But she found that she can live in him and find in him grace sufficient to carry her through that day. And the next day, his mercies are new every morning, and his grace will be sufficient again tomorrow. And we live in a world that's hard. I think, if I could call it that, it's a difficult place to live. We've been put into this world. Jesus said, you're in it, but you're not of it. You're in it, and we have to be in it. And wherever we come from, wherever we're from, we find ourselves in the midst, Paul writes, and he uses the expression, and I think it's fitting for us today. We live in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. But God has called us to live on higher ground all the time, to live up here. That's the life in the Spirit. That's the life that he's called us to. When we live in the Spirit, it's joy unspeakable, Peter writes, and it's full of glory. It's glory just to walk with him. And that could be wherever we find, not just at camp, but home, in our cities, in our jobs, in our schools, the moms and the dads and the cares of the home. Jesus has called us to a higher plane, and God help us if we don't find that place where we live in him. Now, Habakkuk, I'd like to look at Habakkuk a little bit this morning. And it's really, I thought when I read it again today, I thought three chapters and they're short. I thought there's no way you can talk about Habakkuk in one meeting. But I have to, because we've already skipped over, Jonah. We skipped over You'll have to make up the for us. Micah's right here, so if you, we didn't skip over Micah, he's right here. And then after Micah comes Nahum, and there are good things to be said. Micah 5, you got a wonderful prophecy of the coming and the birth of Jesus there. Oh, Bethlehem Ephrathah, the least, Jesus is going to come from that little city of Bethlehem. And then Nahum too has wonderful prophecies and nuggets of truth. And so I don't gloss over them because there's nothing good in there. There are good things in these minor prophets. But this book of Habakkuk reminds me of today, life lived in New York City today. Now, I don't like it when I hear, oh, I have to go back to New York City. You can't live in New York City. It's a terrible place to live. Nobody could be a Christian in New York City. Now, if you come from Baltimore, you probably say the same thing about Baltimore. Or if you live probably even in Lancaster, they're saying that. I'm not sure. You can't just, you know, the world is too dark. The world is too black and bleak and dire. And nobody could live a Christian life. You got to get out of New York City. Got to get out of Lancaster. Got to get out of San Diego or north of San Diego and a little east. You got to get out of wherever you got to get out of, because the grass is always greener on the other side until you get to the other side. And you find you still got to mow it, and you still got to get the weeds and dandelions out of it. And it's not as green as you thought it was unless you put the work into it. But I again think that we can be lifted out of this world and in Him live, in Him move, and in Him have our being. That's the higher plane that we heard about. He wants to take us out of this world and into Himself. Now, I know geographically we still have to hang our hat someplace, but in our spirits, in our souls, thank God we can walk the world in white, living above on a higher plane that He's called us to live on. And Habakkuk was having a hard time with that in his day. There was an international situation going on, and it was pretty dire and bleak. There was an immediate national situation. There was an international crisis. The world looked terrible. And Habakkuk had an idea in his head that God had lost control. Has that ever crossed your mind? I don't know where you know what's happened. God, are you still anywhere? Do you see what's going on? And do you see how I am living in this environment? And Lord, aren't you going to do something about it? Because I'm here, you know. What He wants to do is lift you above it, not necessarily take you out of it, but keep you and protect you in the midst of it. Well, Habakkuk, these are his words. They almost sound like, maybe not your words, but people's words that I hear from time to time. Habakkuk says, oh Lord, how long must I call for help? But you're not listening to me. Now, truth be told, maybe that's been your prayer. Lord, I'm calling, but Lord, I don't know where you are. You're not listening to me. I cry to you. I cry, Lord, there's violence. There's violence all over the place. Do you know what they did to Walmart yesterday? Do you know that they're walking through Home Depot right now, Lord? Do you see what's going on in my city, in my world that I live in? There's violence all over the place. Did you see what happened to that lady that was getting in the elevator? Did you see what happened to these kids that were walking down? Lord, there's violence all over the place. He goes on and he says, why do you make me look at injustice? Is there injustice? Injustice in government? Oh no, the government. We live in a good land with a good government. In God we trust. I might be on the money still, if we're allowed to still have it on the money, but it's certainly not the motto of our country. Do we believe our politicians? Do we believe that they're just? I'm not just thinking of one or two. I mean, I'm talking about the whole schmear. Is there anybody that really injustice prevails all over? Do you find justice in the courts? I had a friend that was a police officer, and he said to me, if I ever you know, hear that somebody's coming after me to charge me with something that I know I didn't do. He said, I'm running. I don't want to go through the courts. There's no justice in the courts. Now, I don't know if it's that bad, and that's true, but here Habakkuk felt there was injustice. Why do you tolerate wrong, Lord? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict that abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Oh yeah, I understand all that. I live that every day. That's where I live. I don't know where you live. I'm living the life that Habakkuk was living. Now, I have the privilege of having Habakkuk's writings and also some other writings in the scriptures. So maybe I understand, or I should understand, better than Habakkuk. But maybe that's the way you felt or feel. Who is it that wrote Psalm 73? Is it David or Asaph? It might be Asaph again. I'm not sure. But the psalmist there writes about a similar circumstance. And if we had more time, I'd like you to read it. But we don't have the time. But just look at it sometime. There the psalmist says, as far as I'm concerned, I've washed my hands in innocency. I don't know. There's something wrong in the society I live. I live an upright life. I live a clean life. I live a godly life. And I don't seem to be getting anywhere. I seem to be behind everything. I look around and I see that the ungodly people that I live around and among, they're doing wonderfully. They're rising to the top. They wear, he says in the Psalm 73, they wear their gold necklace chains. There are no bands in their death. They're healthy, they're wealthy, and they're wise. And I look at me and my friends, we that go to church together, and we look like we're like at the bottom of the barrel. Something's not right. There's injustice all over the place. Lord, where are you? My feet have almost slipped in throwing in the towel and giving up, because when I look around, it seems like the ungodly are doing better than the godly. That's what the psalmist felt. Habakkuk understood those sentiments. Maybe you do too. There in Psalm 73, it's in the 17th verse, he says, but then I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, and then I understood they have an end. Well, here Habakkuk, he goes on, and I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, but the Lord answers him. The Lord answers Habakkuk. Habakkuk's complaining, but it's a legitimate complaint. He really has questions. You know, I don't think the Lord minds our legitimate questions when you go to him with doubts, with concerns, with fears. And he begins to speak to Habakkuk, and he says, okay, Habakkuk, let me explain something to you. You may not be able to understand or wrap your mind around it, but what's going to happen is, yeah, I'm going to use a people that are worse off than your people, worse than the Israelites, worse than you that are my own. I'm going to use the Babylonians to capture and take over you, my people. So I'm going to take a people more evil than even you are, and I'm going to use those evil, wicked people to punish and to judge you for your wickedness and your evil. And then Habakkuk is just like, forget about that. Lord, how could you who hate evil use a people that are more wicked and evil than we are to chasten us? I mean, I'm just completely lost here. This makes absolutely no sense. And as the whole story of Habakkuk unfolds, you find that Habakkuk offers another explanation and complaint. And I don't get this. You're taking the people more wicked than us to punish us, and you're going to let them get away with the evil that they're doing, but you're going to hold us accountable for their wickedness. I don't understand, Lord. I don't understand. And that's a good place to come to if you can ever get to that place yourself. Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand how you're doing it and why you're doing it. But the end of the second chapter, he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord hasn't left the office. The Lord hasn't forgotten what's going on down here on planet Earth. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. There's a song that I don't think it's in any of our books, but it's entitled, God is Still on the Throne. And he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never forsaketh his own. God is still on the throne. And in this book of Habakkuk, God says, I'm going to have a remnant. I'm going to have a people. There's going to be a group that are going to continue to have faith in me. It's in the second chapter where that one phrase is repeated again, as it is several times in the Bible. The just shall live by faith. There are those that are called out from among this world, called from the world and its idols to flee. And yes, I'm using Babylon to punish Israel, but Babylon then will receive the judgment of God themselves. They're not going to escape. Surely they are put in slippery places. They're not going to get away with evil and injustice and violence forever. There comes a judgment. There comes an end. There comes a time when they stand before the judge of all the earth. And until that time, I know I can try to figure it all out. I can try to solve the national problems that we have in America. I can try to solve the international problems of the world. But God's ways are higher than our ways. His ways are far above. And he is in control. I know sometimes you might think, oh no, it doesn't look like it. It looks like they're in control and we've lost. It's gone. Justice is down the drain. It'll never show its head again. It's too far gone. We're over the brink. God knows what he's doing. And God is in control. And he rules over the nations, and he sets one up, and he puts down another, and he uses this nation, and he uses this government, and he uses this party, and he uses different ways, and they're not our ways. And they don't go along with what I understand. And we can get like Habakkuk, and we can get all, Lord, how long is it going to be before you hear what I'm, don't you hear what I'm telling you, Lord? Lord, don't you know who should be the president? Don't you know who should be the mayor? Lord, you've got the wrong one again. It's always the wrong one. I never win. I mean, I feel that way sometimes. Everybody I vote for loses. Maybe I should vote for the other guy because maybe then my guy would win. Could I trick somebody that way? But I have to remember, wait a minute, it's not up to you. He has the nations in his hand. They're like a drop in a bucket. Whoa. And he sets one up and puts down another. And why do you do it that way, Lord? How did you ever let this happen? Didn't you know it was just going to... Yeah, what do you think? You think I didn't know what I was doing? You think I didn't know what was going to happen? I know the end from the beginning. Go back to your cabin and figure that one out for the rest of your time at camp. You know the end from the beginning? Yeah. Mr. Smarty Pants, you could stop trying to figure it out. Do the best you can. Live where you live. But let me lift you up out of the muck and the mire and the politics and the injustice. And the economy. Let me lift you to a higher ground. Yeah, you got to live there. But you can live here. You can live in the spirit. Do you know the guys that Habakkuk's concerned about? They're not living in the spirit. That's why we got the mess that we got. That's why we have the problems that we have. But you and I are called out. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. And so come on up a little higher, where you just hear the din that's going on below. And yes, Be a good citizen. Yes, do what you can. Yes, help where you're able to. But remember, I got it covered. And Habakkuk gets to the place there where he says, oh, the Lord's, he's there. He's in control. He said in the early part of the second chapter, I'm just going to go sit here and I'm going to wait for the Lord to answer. I'm going to wait to hear from heaven. The Lord's in control of this whole thing. And the third chapter is just his prayer. And I'm going to skip over 90% of his prayer, but that famous part at the end of it. He says, okay, I'm looking around and I don't see very much good going on. I don't see the fig tree blossoming. I look in the oil vat and there's no oil in there. And I don't see anything growing and producing. I don't see any fertile places. And it's not just literal, but there's a figurative speech here also. It's a difficult place, but, well, maybe I should just read the words exactly as they're found. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet, I will rejoice. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. And he enables me to go on the heights. So in the bad situation, where violence and injustice, and I don't understand what's going on, and Lord, how long are you going to let this unfold? And how long are you going to let me live down here in this mess? By the time you get to the end of the book, Habakkuk says, okay, God's in. He's in control. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to carry the burden. But what I'm going to do, even though there is nothing outwardly speaking, wherein I look, it's all devastated. But yet still I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to sing. We heard that already in the meeting this morning. We're going to sing, and he's going to lift us up onto that higher ground. We're going to rejoice in him. And there is that place. Praise God, I have found it, the songwriter said. There's a place that God has provided for us, and it's a place out of this world and into his glory. And yes, the songwriter said, I'm living in the glory. I'm living in the glory as he's promised in his word. I'm dwelling in the heavenlies, living in the glory of the Lord. Satan cannot touch my heart while I'm living in the glory. Oh, thank God he calls you and he calls me to live in the glory, to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to rejoice and to praise and to sing. And he leads us, even though it's such a mess, he gives us hinds feet and he leads us on to higher ground, always higher ground. I sat next to Brother Gordon Waldfogel for a long time in Ridgewood, in the Wednesday morning meetings when we came together, and saw, I would hear his comments. And Brother Gordon Waldfogel would always be commenting, saying something. And Brother Edwin was preaching one time, and he said, the whole world is going down the drain. And Brother Gordon said to me, let it go. Let it go. Yeah, let it go. If the whole world is going down the drain and you feel so woe be gone because of it, and it's such a hard life because the whole world and nobody anymore, let it go. Hear a clarion call from heaven that says, come out of her, my people. Babylon is going down the drain. Babylon is going to flop and fall. In 1 hour, it's going to become the habitation of demons and devils and every other thing. Oh, right now it looks like it's sitting pretty. Right now it looks like it's ruling the day. Right now it looks like Babylon is where it's all happening. Right now the merchants are all pining for it. They all drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. But don't worry. Babylon's going down the drain, and I have a people. I have a people that I've called out. They're not going to receive of her plague. They're not going to be partakers of Babylon because they've heard the call and they've got out. They came out. They don't live in this world where Satan's darts are hurled, but they've caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Let's live in the glory. Let's live in the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's find ourselves in Him. Set in the temple of the living God, Revelation says, a people that go no more out. And God help us all if we don't. God help us if we don't live in Him. In that white book of yours, you have a song that says Living in the Glory or something like that. It is number 87. Thank you. Number 87, while you're finding it, just a couple of announcements. And one is, if you were here last week, I'd mentioned that Sister Rachel, the head waitress, had taken a trip to the Holy Land and to areas where the Apostle Paul roamed around. And she has many pictures from there that might interest many or some of you. She has some albums with her, and she said she'd be willing and happy to show them to people who might be interested to take a look. We were going to wait for a rainy day, but it doesn't look like this week we may not have a rainy day. So Sister Rachel has opportunity this morning at 11:30. So you've got a few minutes after the morning meeting, and then she'll be in here, in this room, in the side room there. And if you want to see the pictures and the albums that she's brought with her, just go into that room, and she'd be happy to tell you what you're looking at and help you through. Also this afternoon, there's staff and guest prayer at 4:15 here in this room. This afternoon, 4:15, staff prayer, guest prayer. And tonight is prayer meeting. We made the switch yesterday. Prayer meeting is this evening. Let's sing together.
What time?
Tonight at 8:15. Let's sing number 87, was it? Shall we stand as we sing? I have found a heaven below. I am living in the glory. All the joy and strength I know, living in the glory of the Lord. Yes, I'm living in the ladies. Okay. sing that next verse, man. Ready?
I am poor and little known, but I'm living in the glory, and I'm waiting for a throne, living in the glory of the Lord.
Everyone on the chorus?
Yes, I'm living in.
Today, Lord, to live in you, move in you, and have our being in you. And that'll be a glorious place. Thank you for it, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.